to get this turned on. We had a
wonderful time in Louisiana at the Indian Hills Baptist Church, where I pastored from 1993 to 1996, and just had a wonderful time there. Had not been back there for almost 20 years, and so it was exciting. And all the those who were kids are now adults, and they have their own children, and so that was different. And anyway, just a wonderful time. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for being here and letting God speak to your heart. I understand the Brother Lapish did an excellent job, presented his work with Fellowship Tract League, and you learned some things about getting out the Word of God on paper. And we use tracts here all the time, but they're doing it in an amazing way and reaching millions of people. And so what a great opportunity. We did receive, and I think I have an announcement about this later on, we received the little banks that he had. I think just a wonderful idea. The rolls of paper, the paper rolls made into banks where you can put money in there and you collect so much, and it buys a roll of paper to print tracts on. That was interesting. I haven't heard all the presentation yet, but I am familiar with the work there. And so praise the Lord for that. And just wonderful to be able to go away and know that God's word is being proclaimed. People's lives can be changed. And, because God's God, he can do anything. He doesn't need, all we really do most of the time is just kind of get in the way, it seems like. But anyway, praise the Lord. Well, we're in the book of Ephesians. We are on lesson number 3 still. And Clark was a little concerned. He's afraid I might get to chapter 3 before they get back from being down south. But I would say you're probably pretty safe. I may not get out of chapter 1 before you get back. Ephesians is just so rich. And we are on a section that I've called the doctrine, which is Roman numeral 2, realizing our blessings. And that's a good way to look at doctrine, is instead of it being deep teaching whereby we are, just really hard to grasp the deep truths, we instead can realize the blessings we have from God, and we can let doctrine teach us those things that that God's given us, things that happened when we got saved. And so realizing our blessings, and this section is Ephesians 1:4 all the way through chapter 2 and verse 22. And the first thing we looked at was capital A, our possessions in Christ, and then number 1, from the Father, and we covered those, and then number 2, from the Son, and we are on verse number 7. So we will get to that in just a minute. It does just happen to be that actually, we finished the pardon. We are on the second part, and or small b, and that is the purpose. And we just started on that. But let's look at our verse for the lesson, Ephesians 1:7, and we'll say that together. We'll say the reference, then the verse, then the reference, and begin. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. And again, Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. Father, thank you so much for all that you have provided for us in the one word that we call salvation. When I got saved, I had no idea all these things were happening, all these things were true. And yet as I study your word, I find so many wonderful truths from that day that I bowed my head and I called upon Jesus Christ to save my soul from sins. And boy, what a blessing it is to be saved. I pray you'll help us now in this time to learn some more things from the doctrines, the teachings of the scriptures that will be a blessing to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we receive pardon from the Son, and now we move to the purpose. We do have a purpose that is received in our salvation, and so we go to the where we ended up the last time. That was way before Missions Conference, so that's maybe why we forgot a little bit. But notice verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Our purpose is to give God glory. It is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be done by our own works. It cannot be done by our being a member of Berean Baptist Church or by our baptism or whatever. It has to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can only glorify God by being saved. And praise the Lord, we can be saved. And of course, as we think about this, we are looking at giving God glory. I hope that's something you want to do. I hope that's something that it's you wake up thinking, how can I glorify God today? I hope it's something that you maybe do a little review at the end of the day. Did I glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are God's? Did I do that today? And something we should analyze all the time. How can I better give God the glory? And so we come to Roman numeral 1 under this, or the first point under this, not really Roman numeral 1, but God receives glory through His grace. Now that's an exciting thing, because His grace is Him giving me things that I do not deserve. But that brings glory to God. When God provides something for me that I don't deserve, then God gets the glory. My salvation is not by works of righteousness, which I've done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved me. And God's grace gives God the glory. Nobody can say, you know, I'm a new creature because I turned over a new leaf. That's not how you become a new creature. Turning over a new leaf doesn't make you new. You know, the first of the year I made some resolutions and now I'm a new person. Well, that's all wonderful and we're happy for you. But I became a new creature when I called on Jesus Christ to save me. And by grace, I am saved through faith. And so what a wonderful thing that God's grace, we can give God glory through His grace. It says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And we already talked about that. But notice verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Again, he abounded toward me. He came to me. You know, remember years ago, there was a little sticker, a lot of Christians, they said, I found it. Well, no, the truth of the matter is He found you. He looked for you. And praise the Lord, He abounded toward us. That's God's grace. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to come after me. I think of the times that I was convicted as a teenager. I think of the different messages that I heard and the Holy Spirit of God pricked my heart and dealt with me about my soul. And He came after me. He abounded toward us. That is God's grace. And He receives glory. It was His idea. Salvation wasn't my idea. How would we have saved ourselves if we would do great things, right? Yeah, and you can't be saved by works, because our works are filthy rags. So, good thing He thought of it, amen? Salvation, is totally by grace, and God is the one who gave us the plan. It was His idea. And so we look at God receiving glory through His grace. You know, in the past, for example, the Old Testament, in the Old Testament time, the sacrificial system is a picture of grace. It's a picture of grace. And of course, Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. And He didn't have to do it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And, the lamb offered as a sacrifice on the altar, it's not anything you did. That's not your life. That's the lamb's life. And God provided a way by His grace. And then, of course, the present, our own salvation, today is a picture of grace. The fact that I'm standing up here preaching, the fact that I'm a pastor, the fact that you are involved in a church ministry, you are able to pray, the fact that you and I can study our Bibles and can, the list goes on and on and on and on, the fact that we have eternal life. Amen. One of our deaf men, Ted Crockett, went to be with the Lord. And he, he's not deaf anymore. He'll never have to. Now, he knows all the sign language, and maybe they'll use it. Maybe he wants to. I don't know, but he'll never have to use it anymore because he can hear now. And he can speak. And what for you and I mean, heaven, Clark and I were talking about, streets of gold. I that doesn't really matter a lot other than it'll be very beautiful. But, just imagine being in heaven in a beautiful place. But imagine if you were deaf here and all of a sudden you can hear. And you hear, and all you hear is perfection. You know, I'm kind of like Clark. And where Clark lives, I mean, he lives, in a national park. It's his own yard. And he goes out there and the birds are chirping and the wind is blowing through the trees and it's a beautiful location and everything and it sounds good. But just imagine when we get to heaven, what it's going to sound like, what it's going to be like. And so that's all God's grace. The fact, the present, and I know I kind of got into the future there, but my very salvation, my very life, I don't have to get drunk. I don't have to use drugs. I don't have to be involved in immorality. Sin pulls on me like it does, but I don't have to give in to it anymore. And you think about so many people, their lives are a mess. I think of this young lady that was at a homecoming. There was a homecoming parade, and this young lady was drunk, that's what they say. We don't know that for sure yet, but for whatever reason, she drove into that crowd and killed people with her car and injured many people. Some more may die. Now listen to me, folks. She's her life is totally ruined. Now I know people's lives were taken, but again, thank God. I that could be me. I could be that drunk. I could be that person in jail, prison. And so our salvation is a picture of grace. And of course, past, present, future, heaven is a, what a picture of grace. I was there Thursday at hospice with Ted. And of course, he's deaf. Lois was there. She's deaf. And our communication was writing on a board. And taking the Bible and just showing them verses. And I read myself, but I was the only one that could hear in the room, but I read John chapter 14 to Ted and to Lois, and Ted's eyes, they got big, and he smiled real big. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And as we're going through that, and I'm kind of pointing out the verses, he's looking up and he's thumbs up. Got to verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And thumbs up. Amen. Amen. That's God's grace. God's grace. And honestly, heaven is just a picture of God's grace. Not only do we not deserve it, we deserve hell. We don't, and yet, I'm never going to go to hell. And it's not because of me. And it's not because of Berean Baptist Church. And it's not because somebody dunked me underwater. It's because Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for my sins. And, heaven is such a perfect picture of God's grace. I was talking to Robin, and many of you have been praying for Nathan and Melanie and the two little twins that were to be born premature, it looked like, and then they did have an emergency C-section, and little baby Quinn is in heaven, didn't make it. How big was he?
He was
1 pound, 3 ounces, and little baby Miles is about the same size, a little heavier, correct? But he is very critical, very critical. But try to, again, you just from what we know of what the Bible teaches and that, little baby Quinn is not a baby in heaven. He's, we assume, a grown adult and on streets of gold, and will never have a tube or a probe or anything like that ever done again. And we can, you talk about comfort. You know, do you remember David when Bathsheba's baby died? Remember David? He said, you'll not come to me, but I'll come to you. And so, you know, God's grace, heaven is, we were kind of, LC came in, we're talking about heaven, and you know, we have it all figured out, right? But the truth of the matter is, we can't even imagine. Can't even imagine, but we do know a little bit about the amazing grace of our God. And whatever it is we do, you know, Clark said, I don't think I'm going to be up there playing a harp all the time. Yeah, I don't either. I don't know where people get weird ideas like that. But whatever it is, it's going to be wonderful. Because his grace now is wonderful. It really is. So don't try to understand his grace. Accept his grace. Accept his grace. And just know that it's going to be absolutely wonderful. You know, the more, and so now we understand a little bit about this passage. You know, the more grace, the more glory to God. Now follow me on this, okay? I mean, God's, come on, somewhere along the line, and the only thing that messes us up is our own selfishness and lack of thankfulness and contentment. Somebody help me out a little bit. I'm feeling lonely. Okay, you know, nod or something. That's the only problem that we, because if we would just, as Clark was talking, sitting out there, he looks around and he realized how wonderful God is and all that God gives and how great God is, and you just kind of look around, you know, then what do you end up doing with as you deal with the grace of God? You end up just praising God because of how good God is. And his grace, it just keeps giving him glory. But again, let me get you to understand something. Then wouldn't that make him want to give more grace? He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. Right? I think that's how it goes. I don't know. Yeah. And he just keeps giving more and more grace. And the songwriters keep writing songs. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus. Amazing grace. And we just keep singing them. But let's remember it. Because it gives him glory. The grace of God, it just keeps giving him more glory. Look at Romans 5, verse 7. What time is it here? All right, Romans 5 and verse 7. Romans, the 5th chapter, and verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. In our minds, if we could just think about this, and again, so much of it is just really how we look at ourselves and what we are. And, you know, so here's... here's a guy who's done a lot of good things, and he's a good person, and he's helped a lot of people, and you know, I could see somebody dying for him to keep him alive, but that's not who Jesus died for. He died for us while we were yet sinners. That needs to permeate our thinking. It really does. It needs to cause us to recognize just how much grace God has bestowed upon us. It's like a judge maybe somehow showing mercy and grace to someone, and so they show mercy and grace to someone who has a parking violation, and we say, wow, that's amazing. You know, in other words, instead of having to pay the fine, they give them a pass to park there for the next 6 months, right? Because again, mercy is not receiving what we deserve. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. It's giving us good things that we don't deserve. So we say, wow, that's a good thing. Boy, that judge is showing a lot of grace. But then that same judge maybe somebody has murdered, and grace is, and we say, wow, that's amazing. Now, you know, I'm just saying, God, you know, if we would realize who we are, and we would realize what we really deserve, we would give God glory for his grace over and over and over and over again. Because God, you know, if we were good and God let us in heaven, that would be grace. The fact that we are sinners and we get to go to heaven, wow, that is more grace and therefore more glory. Do not lose sight on how bad our sin is. Do not ever lose sight of the fact that we are sinners. That's why I've preached several messages on Isaiah 6, and just really have to think about it over and over again. You know, the more you really see the Lord, the more you really see who you are. I don't want you to end up discouraged about it. It should not end up in a, oh, you know, I'm just such a terrible. No, it's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7. I want to do right, but I do wrong. But it all comes down to thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his grace. And again, the more grace, the more glory that the Lord receives. And so, you know what I say? I say, then God, keep showing me your grace. Amen. You and I who deserve nothing, and he meets our need every day. Why can't you get excited over one thing, two things, a little thing? Why can't you get excited? Why aren't we getting excited over little things, you know? Why aren't we excited when we go to the doctor and the doctor says, you're okay? When's the last time you praised the Lord because you were okay? Hello? Oh, I went to the doctor and the doctor says that I've got this, you know, and oh, we talk about it all the time. I wish we'd talk about all those appointments when everything was okay. Or the dentist said you have no cavities. Yeah, because you have false teeth. No. But I didn't mean it. Really, I'm just... you know, seriously, God's grace is something that we need to realize is it gives him glory because he's doing an amazing, amazing thing. Number two, God receives glory through godliness. Now, we're not going to like this point at all. But he does receive glory through his grace, but also through godliness. Ushers, if you'll come, go ahead and collect the offering. That will be good because we will dismiss a little early to let the shepherds get up here. They are excited, to say the least. They are excited. Dale, is that you wearing those shades back there? You're really cool, aren't you? I know those are kind of weird-looking sunglasses, but all right, God receives glory through godliness. Verse 9 is our verse, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, his will according to his good pleasure. And so God receives glory through his grace, but he also receives glory through godliness. It's like we, and it's kind of sad that it's like this, and yet it does stand out to us. A drug dealer gets saved, and God works in his life, and he eventually becomes a preacher. We all reckon, wow, that's something. I mean, here's a guy that is, he was living ungodly, and now he's living godly. What an amazing thing. And we say, glory to God. Well, the mystery of God's will, God actually lets us know what he's thinking. So that the mystery of God's will, it says, having made known unto us the mystery. How did he make known unto us the mystery of it? How do we know what God wants? Well, he gave us his word. We have a Bible. We have the scriptures where God has told us, here is how I want you to live. Now, we've gotten so far away from it, it's unbelievable. Right? I mean, our world is a mess, and let's just recognize that. Our world is a mess. But again, as we think about the fact that, God has made it known to us, we don't have to stumble around saying, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm supposed to live. I don't know. Because God has made known unto us the mystery of what he wants according to his good pleasure. In other words, what pleases him, which he hath purposed in himself. I mean, Jesus was the example. What did he do? The Bible says he went about doing good. Godliness, doing right. I say it all the time. You know, I didn't start it. Bob Jones III made it very, very, very well known among Christians. Do right. Two words, just do right. And many songs have been, do right till the stars fall. That was his saying. Do right till when the stars are all done falling, then you don't have to do right. But until that's done, just do right. Amen. Amen. Well, why? Well, because God receives glory through godliness. By the way, the only way I can do right is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way, you know? And so godliness. Now, you know, when I worked at the gas station, I worked and I worked hard and all of that, and I was a servant. I was getting paid. I served, but I got paid, and all of that. When I became a co-manager there, I think I worked a little bit harder. I had somewhat of a responsibility. I learned why we do a lot of the things we do. I took a little pride in keeping the place clean and all those kind of things and everything. Well, because I had to learn more. They gave me more responsibility. They gave me more instruction in how to please the customers and all those kind of things. You know, factories today, they have awareness programs and all those kind of things. Just letting people know, why does the factory do what they do? Why do we have these policies, these procedures, and all these kinds of things, you know? God, as he reveals things to me through his word, as he shows me more and more his will, his desire, well, you know, I can do more. I want to do more. I want to be more busy. I want to do right. So many times people just, well, I don't want to know that because I like what I'm doing. Yeah, but do you want to please you or do you want to please God? And there's the battle. Do you want to please God? Do you want, you know, God has revealed, he's made known unto us his will. What he wants, what he expects. It's in his word. And the more I learn, the more I want to please him. The more I want to do. It's like I say, as a young man at the gas station, there was a time my dad taught me to work hard. And I thought I was working hard. But the more I learned about the business, the more I learned, for example, inventory, keeping inventory and understanding that, reading pumps and understanding the accountability for, you know, how much gas is sold. And boy, I'll tell you, it made all the difference in the world as to my desire to perform even better. And you know, folks, honestly, I've read this book through many, many times. But every year, it seems, I feel more and more determined to do his will. It's not slipping as long as you stay in the word. It's not, and again, what does that do? Well, the more godliness, the more we please him, the more we do what he wants us to do, the more it gives him glory. Amen. Living in Jesus Christ, you know, it produces godliness. It really does. John chapter 15, that abiding in Christ, you know, the fruit that comes from abiding in Christ, it's all godly fruit. Again, would Jesus do this? Would Jesus watch this? Would Jesus listen to this? Would Jesus, you know, and the more decisions we make that are Christ-like, the more it gives God the glory. Because that's totally different than how we really are. Well, I'm running out of time. Again, I remind you, the Bible says, do all to the glory of God. So whatever we do, doesn't matter what it is. You say, well, I work at a factory. Well, you should work at the factory for the glory of God. You know, well, you know, I'm retired. You should be retired for the glory of God. Amen. Right? Somebody who's retired doesn't have to go into the factory every day. So you could come in here and do some things, right? Do some church. Hello. I thought that was a great idea. You could pray more. I know a lot of folks that are retired. They can spend more time. You can read your Bible more. And again, what does it do? Well, it gives God the glory. And so I love it. All right, let's go ahead and stop there. And we will move on to the third point next week. Father, we love you.